Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Hello and good morning. Áine Kerr here, sitting in for Claire. Coming up, rising tensions in the Middle East as Israel claims it killed a senior Hezbollah commander in airstrikes on Beirut. We look at 100 years of the courts in Ireland and the key role played by women. Training for a marathon or just inspired by the Olympics? We'll have a running clinic on everything from stretches to nutrition. And with the US sitcom Veep enjoying a viewership boost, we take a look at political dramas and how close they are to the real drama in Washington. As usual, you can text us this morning on 51551 or you can email todaycb@rte.ie. Now, what's my name? Daniel Whiffen, Olympic champion. What a night it was for the Irish in Paris. Daniel Whiffen staged a mesmerising final stretch in the men's 800 metre freestyle final to clinch gold at Paris 2024 in an Olympic record time. I'm joined now on the line by Jack Baxter, coach with Larne Swimming Club, and 12-year-old club member Connor Sidwell, who are both on tenterhooks watching that race last night. Good morning to you both. Jack, I'll come to you first. Larne Swimming Club is affiliated with three Team Ireland Olympians in Danielle Hill, Connor Ferguson and Daniel Whiffen. So how many members of the club gathered last night for this history-making moment?
Oh, it was great. There was about 50 of us, roughly, and we all went to a local beach in the area, and we all had to find an area where there was signal to watch it. So we all went to the end of the pontoon, with all of about seven devices lined up along the wall, and we all cheered and cheered him on to the finish line.
I love the scene of 50 of you gathered around seven mobile phones. And Connor, you were one of those 50. You're only 12. You're a member of Larne Swimming Club. What was it like to be there on Portmuck Beach last night watching Daniel do his thing?
It was really impressive to be able to watch him get all the way to the Olympics and to see him race and then come first.
It's amazing, and he stuck to his game plan. Is he a total inspiration to you this morning now, Connor?
Absolutely. I am so proud of him for getting that gold medal, and he is such an inspiration to all of us.
Amazing. And another inspiration to all of us again this morning is Mona McSharry. She took bronze only the other night and she has just qualified for tonight's semi-final. And we'll make sure to bring updates on that shortly with Des Cahill. But coming back to you, Jack, as a coach and watching that race last night, I think it was 16 lengths. Was it ever in doubt? Like, he had gone out and said he was going for gold. The first 300 metres looked a little bit slower for him, but he really pulled it together, didn't he, in the last 50 to 100?
Well, I think Daniel displayed a really good performance tactically. Some people were a bit worried at the start. He was a bit behind the first swimmer, but we always had full belief that he was swimming tactically and just conserving some of his energy reserves for that final push. He always looked in control from first length right to the final length. And I think that it's a really good performance that young swimmers can look up to as well.
And Connor, for you, when Jack talks about that kind of technique, you know, where you're conserving energy, you're figuring out when's the right time to kick, when to really lean on your arms and get your timing perfectly. Is that something that resonates? Have you been trying to put technique like that into good use when you're racing?
Yes. Yeah, it's always very helpful to have a bit of energy for that last little push of a race.
Yeah, and you could see Daniel doing it last night. He knew how to turn it on. In terms of winning the gold, I assume, Connor, you're hoping you'll have an opportunity. I think you've met Daniel before, is that right? Hopefully you'll get to meet him again sometime soon with the gold medal around his neck.
Yes, I really hope to get to see him again with that gold medal.
And when you met him, Connor, did he give you any advice to you and other younger swimmers there in Lauren Swimming Club?
Yes, he told us if we keep training and work really hard, we'll get to exactly where he is.
That's great. So he's set a big ambition for you now, Connor. It's just practice, practice, practice and train.
Yeah.
That's it, exactly. Back to you, Jack, as a coach for, you know, Team Ireland, for local swimming clubs, just how important is this? Is this a game-changing moment for younger swimmers here in your club and broadly across the country?
Very, very important. There's Daniel and also Danielle, Danielle is one of Connor's coaches as well. So to have that first-hand experience of people who have been there and done that associated with the club, it just provides local swimmers with somebody to look up to. I want to be Daniel. I want to be like Daniel when I'm older. Lauren is sort of a very isolated community. So to have somebody competing at that top level, it just provides so much inspiration, not just for swimmers, but you can look up to someone like that for any sport. The sheer determination. What a lot of people don't understand is the work that goes on behind the scenes. Daniel and Danielle, they work so hard behind the scenes, up early, their diets all suit their events, the sleep, how they behave. And it's the work that goes on behind the scenes that is really very important as well.
There must be something literally in the water up there in Lauren. Is there, Jack, with three Olympic swimmers affiliated to the club? What's the secret sauce?
Well, we're getting the pool retiled at the minute, so maybe it was the old tiles. But, I think the community, there's a real sense of community all around Lauren because we're a very close community. We're very together. I mean, we went to watch Danielle. We went to a local bar in Lauren and just had a really good day out with the kids. And I think that real sense of togetherness with Lauren Swimming Club is really, you can really feel it.
Well, enjoy all that is to come your way, Jack Baxter, coach with Lauren Swimming Club and 12-year-old member Connor Sidwell. Thank you so much for bringing the lovely visualizations, and enjoy the celebrations with Lauren Swimming Club. I want to go now to two-time Olympian and swimming commentator Andrew Bray. Good morning, Andrew. Watching you last night, there was a sense of disbelief in the studio to see the first male swimmer representing Ireland to win gold, only the 10th gold medal for Ireland.
Yes, good morning. I think the reality hits you when you actually see it. And I messaged people last night, I was like, I'm still shook up. Even though we know he's a world-class performer, but the Olympics is a different game, and to see him step up, and I think it was the race as well. I think that way there was a bit of disbelief, you know, how he went out. He was looking to his left. We spotted him pretty early on, looking over to Bobby Fink, and he even mentioned that in his post-race interview, that was his concern. He looked over and he was checking. And then we were concerned. The Australian took it out. We knew he couldn't hold that pace. At one stage, he was 1.5 seconds under the world record. So Gráinne Murphy, that was on the show last night with me, was a very, very experienced distance swimmer. And we were both looking at each other going, what's going on? And I could see a glimpse. She was pretty calm. So I was like, okay, she knows that he's got more to move. And he's a master strategist, this guy. You know, he's been on the world stage. He's won, you know, broke the world record short course, one of the longest standing world records in the pool for short course, which is 25 meters. So way more turns and way more lengths. And we just know that he thrives under pressure, and I think it's just the reality. When it hits you, you're just like, what?
He did it.
What is going on?
He said he'd do it, and he did it.
It's magic.
And isn't it amazing? Like, afterwards, he talked about his first 300 metres. In his own words, he described it as absolutely terrible. So the pressure was there, wasn't there, to kind of turn it around in the final 50-100. Like, that level of mindset. But even, like, you could tell he was enjoying it, couldn't you? Like, he comes out, he does his little gesture of a notebook, you know, this is going into the history books, and he does his little gesture afterwards of making the phone call, I'm an Olympian champion now. It's all mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, it is mindset. It's a 99% mindset. I think it has to be in the world of swimming. When you step up, we've talked about it all week. When you step up and that noise goes to dive in, when the beeper goes or whatever you call it, it's flow state. You know, it's getting in and just settling into it. And I think he said once he got in, he was a wee bit nervous, and it was his big final, like, and center lane as well. And I think the nerves come from, oh, I have spent my whole life, my whole existence on this planet gearing up to perform and to show everybody what I've done. And what a true testament to his preparation and everyone involved. You know, he started in Lurgan Swimming Club, and then he was involved with Lisburn Swimming Club, and now he's affiliated with the Lauren Swimming Club. So he's inspired more than just one club. And of course, he's inspired not only the whole swimming community here in Ireland, but he's inspired the nation in terms of just what is possible with dedication and hard work.
And all along the way, you know, he does his video blogs. He's pretty consistent about them and constantly talking about his twin brother, who's also an amazing swimmer, very unlucky to miss out on qualification. And he kept mentioning the twin brother, Nathan, in his interviews last night, and just the relationship, the sense of connection. Like, how critical was that relationship to all of this? Because it sounds like they train, they eat, they plot and plan together.
Exactly. It's like having another version of, well, it is another version of himself, and they think the same, and they mention the telepathy thing, like that, in terms of he walked out in front of, is it 15,000 people, and he heard his brother out of all those people. So they asked his parents out, and they were like, is there some type of mystical connection there going on? They're like, probably it's a twins thing. You ever heard the stories where there's a twin on the other side of the world and something happens and the other twin feels it? So it's there must be, they have to, look at the DNA, the structure is the exact same.
Yeah,
so of course they're going through it. And then that support network, it's like having that, it's just like having that other voice and not that inner talk. We get caught as human beings stuck in our own head. What do we have, 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day?
Yeah.
So imagine not being able to unload some of those thoughts. If you're not meditating, or you're not journaling, or you're not, you know, you don't keep yourself grounded, you get tense, you know, things fall out of place, things get a bit chaotic. So he's got Nathan in his corner
at all times. Thinking out loud.
You know?
And just finally and briefly, Andrew, we talked yesterday about the impact of the bronze medal by Mona McSharry. This just adds now, isn't it? Doesn't it, to the momentum, the excitement? It's a big moment for Irish swimming.
Big moment. And I really hope that the... not that I hope, it's going to happen. I said it on television. Like, we've gone to a new level now. There's going to be focus on the sport. There's going to be, I think I seen an Instagram post today saying there was a huge queue outside the pool. I'm not sure where it was, but they were like, we can't even accommodate all these kids. But all these kids wanted to just go down and jump into the water. But you also have to remember, we're surrounded by water. So, you know, there's no harm in jumping into the sea. Slightly cold.
Yeah.
But it'll wake you up and it'll sort you out. And I think the water aspect is just it's a gift. It's a gift. Our bodies are, 75-80% water. So we need to understand the relationship of water, even through exercise, through healing. It's just a beautiful sport. And I'm just so glad, finally, that it's now on the world stage more than ever for Ireland.
Great. Thank you for that, two-time Olympian and swimming commentator, Andrew Bree. To bring you in, Des Cahill, it's a big moment, isn't it? You were watching Daniel last night. You saw the energy he had to bring to it in the last 50 to 100K. Really an incredible, historic moment.
Of course, yeah. The 800 metres in the pool is probably maybe like the 5,000 metres on the track. Initially, no drama because it's a long race, and effectively the strong contenders gradually wear down their opponents until it becomes a fight between the big dogs. And that last 100 metres, and you're referring to, was so dramatic as he battled to get the better of the American Bobby Fink. we've heard the explanation, the term "you've been finked" refers to how the American always wears down his opponents, kills them off at the end. But last night it was a reverse and Bobby Fink was whiffing. But it was extraordinary. But the more unusual thing for me being here is how quickly things move on, because today, for the first time in Irish Olympic history, Áine, we're saying this line, that we have three reigning Olympic champions from Ireland in action. We never said that before in Olympic history. So Kelly Harrington's going later, but in rowing, as you know, we have our world champions in action and our Olympic champions, Paula Donovan and Fintan McCarthy, are in their semi-final live. There's 300 metres to go in their semi-final as they bid to reach another final. So let's join Pádraig Lodge for live commentary.
This semi-final, top three boats going through to the final, and Czechia look like they are the stronger of themselves in France there.
Yeah, Czechia, they've been around a while. They were at the last Olympics where they came fourth, so they'll want to get into this final. But really impressive performance here from Paul and Fintan at the front. The race is going to come back on them, but they're not going to stretch themselves into fifth gear just yet, if at all.
Just 150 metres between Fintan and Paul and the finish line. They have repelled the challenge of Switzerland. They've held them all off, and they can hear the cheers of some of the Irish fans who've assembled in the stands, roaring them home. They may have been underdogs in their eyes, but this is another confident, controlled performance as the champions from Tokyo head for the final in Paris. Ireland through to the decider ahead of Switzerland, and the Czechs look like they have just edged out the French for that third and final qualifying spot.
Indeed, Pádraig, you're right. They have, the Czechs take that final spot. This, Áine, I feel, the rowers, their achievements are fantastic, and they're kind of lost in the wake of Mona's bronze medal and Daniel Whiffen's gold medal. But what the rowing team is achieving is extraordinary. Philip Doyle and Daryl Lynch qualified for the double sculls yesterday, and just in the last half hour, Ross Carrigan and Nathan Timoney have qualified for the A final in the men's pair as well. And now Paul and Fintan. This is fantastic stuff.
Were they even in fifth gear there, Des? Like the second place team behind them, at a distance.
Yeah, exactly. They were very much in control, and it's. Do you know, the downside of that is everyone will talk about them as favourites again, which makes
me nervous.
They won't
mind that. I suspect they'll rise to meet the moment.
Yeah. So the Swiss second. But just in relation to Ross Carrigan and Nathan Timoney, they pipped the Swiss to make that men's pair final, which was a great achievement. Romania won it, Britain was second, Ireland were third, but edged out Switzerland. So they go through to the A final as well, which is fantastic.
And Des, what of Afric Kyoa and Fiona Murth, the previously bronze medalists, but moved from the four-way team down to a pair? How did they get on this morning in the rowing?
They just went in the race immediately before Paul and Fintan. And it's a completely different race, obviously, the two of them rather than four. They were sixth in their semi-final of six. So they go into the B final. But still, that'll be battling for 7th to 12th place, and it's a good achievement for them to make that. It's extraordinary the success we're having. I mean, even at whatever time it is, 20 past 10 in the morning, we had Nat Wien in action in the badminton. I'm a fan of Nat. Have you watched him?
I've been watching all of it, and he started really well this morning. It felt like he'd momentum, he could cause an upset, but just didn't go his way in the end.
No, it would have been a big upset in fairness to him, because he was up against the double world champion and the reigning Olympic champion, Victor Alexson. So that would have been a big upset, but you're right, he started so well. And midway through that first set was leading, but it finished up 21-13, 21-10 to Axelsson, and only one goes through. So
he's done so well. I'm sure we'll be seeing him again.
Well, let's hear from him. He's just spoken to us in the last few minutes. This is now talking to Dave Kelly.
When I stepped down court, I told myself to go all in, to give my best. And I got a really, really good start. And I think I don't think he was expecting my level or my speed at the start. So. Yeah, and then I think once he got his rhythm going, it was very difficult for me to follow his speed and his smashes. So, yeah, I can learn a lot from that game there. It's just when I play at my very best, I can compete, I can score points. It's just maintaining that for however long.
As you say, in that first game, you led twice by 3 points.
Yeah, for sure. I went all in. I wanted to pressure him at the start, and that was my best chance. And also I chose the more difficult side, so my attack was a little bit faster. But disappointing where I couldn't capitalize in the first set, but you know, I gave my all out there, and yeah, I gave my all out there. There's no regrets. Yeah.
In one sense, it's, I suppose, unlucky to be drawn against the Olympic champion, but presumably you also welcome the opportunity to be playing somebody like him on this stage.
Yeah, for sure. For the Olympic Games, you want to perform. You want, yeah, it's a dream to play against the Olympic champion. It's a dream to cause an upset. That was my belief at this when I walked on the court. I had to believe, and yeah, it got a really good start. But unfortunately, there's a lot to work on for sure.
That's not weighing on you. Knocked out by the Olympic champion. No shame in that. His sister, you know, Tammy, who I've met a few times, she's so infectious. I love her. She tried to make it in weightlifting. She's a tiny, slight woman. But they're a great family. Great family.
Oh, he can be so proud. And he's made many of us massive badminton experts and enthusiasts overnight.
People tune into him. Now, all the swimming talk on you, obviously, Daniel. But Mona, as you mentioned, was in action at 10 o'clock. And this was to qualify for the semi-final. She did. We can get the closing stages from John Kenny. Bear in mind, this doesn't have the drama of last night because it's her job was to try and make the semi-finals tonight. Let's pick it up, the closing stages with John.
Now, has she got this finishing speed that we saw in the 100 in the longer race? Now, Smith, so far so good for her, way out in front. Lane 3 getting involved here. Katerikova of Lithuania. But Sherry, though, still in second place. This will be more than good enough to get into the semi-final. Just upping her stroke in the last few metres of the race. This is good. Not shortening it at all. Personal duel between herself and the second of the South Africans as Smith takes the win. But Sherry is third. 2:23.98. That's good for a morning swim. We consider the exertion she's had during the week at 2:23. Is just slightly shy. It's about a second shy of her Irish record, so I think she'd be very happy with that. That'll get her out of the heats and into the semi-finals later on tonight.
Yeah, so she's through tonight. That race, if you want to book your TV viewing time, it will be between 10 to 9 and 9 o'clock, just if you're going to be watching that tonight. Now, elsewhere, the boxing, another Olympic champion in action, Kelly Harrington, up against a tough opponent, Angie Pana of Colombia, in a quarterfinal bout. And if Kelly gets through that this evening, that's just before 5 o'clock, she'll medal again. Should be a second one fight away. Now, our other two boxers today, they're around earlier on, they're around a 16. Jude Gallagher is up against a Filipino opponent, Carlo Palam, and Aoife O'Rourke, I think, could pick up a medal here for Roscommon. She's in around a 16 against Elizabeth Wojciech of Poland. That's tonight, around 10 to 9 tonight as well. And our sailors have been doing superbly. Robert Dixon and Sean Waddelove in the skiff. And the last three races are this afternoon. They were delayed a bit. And races 10 to 12 this evening. The top 10 qualify for the medal race. And going into these three, the Irish lads are in second place. But then it's all to play for then if it goes to the medal race. So there's so much going on, isn't
Brilliant.
There?
Day five. Lots to look forward to.
Hopefully.
Thank you for all of that, Des Cahill. We'll be tuning in throughout the day and you can watch the Olympic Games action all day with live coverage on RTE2 and the RTE Player. We'll be back after these.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.